Because it seems like you have some bitterness about your father having really abandoned the family on several occasions then.
Well, he didn't abandon just once, this time when he lost the money. But he used to get drunk and sometimes he'd leave jobs. And he'd make us pack and go with him and leave and finish jobs. And then, of course, when he sobered up, it would be too late. And also when we were coming from Argentina, that was my first ride in an automobile, by the way, from Argentina to Bolivia. And my father got the influenza. And almost everybody died around him except him. And you know, they said later because he had a bottle of whiskey with him. And that helped. When we caught up with him, it was all right already. So, now we're going back.
Yeah, we backtracked a little bit.
Now I have to go back to Peru when I wrote to my aunt. And when we came to New York, I told you this.
Now, you had decided you wanted to come to the United States because you thought you'd have an easier life.
Yeah, and because I heard so many nice things. And California, to me, was the magic word. Even when I was a little girl, I was in a play. And it had something to do with California. And I remember one part of the play says, I was supposed to be there very nice, and it looks like you went to California to get you there. I'll never forget that. So since I was a little girl, I had the United States and California in my mind.
What did you think that you wanted to do here, or would do?
I didn't know. I did think that maybe I would keep on going to be a teacher.
Mm.
See, when I came to Montana, of course, and my mother, my brother died the same night we arrived.
Wait, the three children and your mother were all in the hospital then?
Yes. And then we left the hospital when we got well, and we came to Cuenca, Montana, on the train, and we were like cattle. You know when they show these things of people, immigrants, well, I wouldn't call it that. We were immigrants, but not from Europe, because we came from South America. But the same thing, you know, they put a big label in here, and I guess your name and where you're going or something, and they come over and take a look at it, and then take us by the hand and put us on this train or take us off this train. And I remember my mother somehow, I don't know how she made him understand she needed a pillow. So they let her have a pillow, and she carried my brother in the pillow all the time because he was so sick. So when we got to Butte, Montana, my aunt was waiting for us. And the picture that I have seen of her, she was very, very pretty. And of course, this was an old shrunken woman with long nose, and my kid, I said to my mother, who is that? And she says, I don't know, until she started talking. So we couldn't understand how come she was so pretty once, and then all at once she got that way. But she had asthma, very bad. She finally died from it. And of course, she had quite a few operations in her nose, and so kind of spoiled her looks. So we went with my aunt to where she lived in a farm. And the first thing my aunt did was find my mother a boyfriend, a husband. So.
When did your little brother die then?
Well, the same night that we arrived. He got there about midnight and he died about 2 o'clock in the morning.
And that was smallpox too?
No, it was pneumonia. And then, you know, the relapse on the train and all this. So, of course, we buried my brother, and then it was just my sister and myself, and we're staying with my aunt. And then my aunt wanted my mother to get married. See, my mother was a widow only a couple of years, and she was still pretty young. And my aunt would bring some men. I don't know where they found him, but he was about this big, dirty. He was a work on the woods, chopping wood.
Oh, what, like a lumberjack?
And his hands were real rough, you know, and my mother took one look at him, and she didn't want him at all. So my mother had a blister or a boil in her little finger. And he asked my aunt, he said, what's the matter with her? She's sick, she's got some kind of disease that she's got those boils. But my mother couldn't stand him by this time anyhow. And then he comes out and he says to my aunt, you know, he says, I think I would like to marry your sister, but I'd like to call her out for about a month. And my mother took a stick in the kitchen, and she came right out and she said, get out of this house before I break your head. She said, what do you think? I am a cow? You try cows, you know, people. And so she chased him out of the house. And, oh, she got mad at my aunt. Oh, she says, what did you think? That's why I came here, so I'm going to be sold like a slave to anyone and try me for a month. What if you think I am? Well, anyway, so she didn't marry, didn't even want to hear, but they ended up into a big argument, my mother and my aunt, and my mother decided to move out to my aunt's house.
Mm. Now, the house is actually in Butte.
No, it was in Anaconda. It's close to Anaconda. Uh-huh. The place is called Opportunity.
Oh, and he was, and her husband worked in the mine?
He worked in smelter.
I see.
But they were pretty well to do because they had horses and cows and a big farm, and he worked in the smelter.
And she took care of the farm?
And she took care of the house, and they had people helping, you know.
So were there many Croatians there?
Most of them.
Oh.
So this was a little community of nothing but Croatians. And
how were you viewed by the other Croatians? Were you all viewed as being Latin?
No, we were viewed as Croatians.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. And my sister, she was about 3 years old by this time, and she couldn't speak a word of Croatian, just Spanish. Because, you know, she came from South America, and she was a cute little thing. And I remember she would talk to my aunt in Spanish, and my aunt would laugh because she didn't understand. So when we left my aunt's house, and then we had an aunt-in-law, she's still living, and they found us a little house in town. And then my uncle came to live with us, my mother's sister's husband. So he helped along with the rent, I guess, and my mother got a job immediately as a dishwasher in a restaurant at night. And I was going to school. I went to school for about 2 months. This was September, school started, and we got here in August, I guess, or at the end of July.
Did you understand anything?
No. Well, a few words, but not enough. But I could read. But, of course, I read it like they read in Spanish, the accent in the wrong place, and I pronounced it wrong and all this. I remember I had to read something about Sir Francis Drake, and everybody started laughing at me because I said it wrong. Because I said a drag, and of course that meant anyway, by the December, of course, when the Christmas vacation came, I never went back to school because in the meantime, my mother thought that the best thing for me is to get married.
She didn't marry, though.
She was already engaged, and she had a very good-looking man that she had found herself. Nothing to do with my aunt. But He liked my sister, but he thought I was too much, you know, to have an older daughter. And I was already 16 at most. So she wanted me to get married. And, of course, I didn't go out very much. Went to a couple dances and that's all. And I wasn't Americanized at all yet. I dressed like the rest of them and all. I only had one funny-looking dress like the one I showed you, but after that, they got me some nice clothes.
But when you came all in black.
All in black.
Why don't you tell me that story that on the tape that you told me about coming all in black?
Oh, we were all in black. My mother, and we had veils. Not only did we wear black, but we had veils. You know, she was a widow and rigorous mourning, like you call it. My sister is 3 years old with her almost white hair and a black dress. And my aunt says, oh, my God, she says, why are you all dressed in black? My mother says, well, I lost my husband. And she says, well, here we don't wear, and especially children don't wear black. So she burned it close. And because I guess she wanted to make sure we didn't wear it anymore. So, of course, then they bought me a navy blue dress, which my mother thought, well, that was all right. And my sister, of course, had to wear white dresses and light colors. Let's see. Well, I did crazy things. They had a beautiful horse in the farm. And, you know, I was used to horse races because my father used to like to go to the races. And he used to take me along in South America. So I saw this beautiful horse with a long tail, you know. And they were going to sell it. So my aunt says, we have to clean the horse. So what do you think I did? I took a pair of scissors and I went and cut the paper to make him look pretty, you know. And I tell you, I thought my uncle was going to die when he came home and found out. He didn't holler at me because I was just arrived. But he got so mad and he said, well, where were you that you didn't see what she was doing? My answer was, when I found I was too late, the horse's tail was already cut.
But then you started saying about associating with others. Did you start having friends?
I started having friends, but no dates. I never heard of them. I guess other girls went on dates, but see, I wasn't single long enough to even find out.
But the other young women did go on dates.
They had dates. And they go out in fours or more. And I did go to a couple dances with girlfriends, and I danced with men, but I didn't have a boyfriend. So my mother, and she had a friend, she decided I should get married. And of course, unfortunately, the first one they found, or I don't know how they, it was a friend of my mother's friend, and he was 36 years old.
And you were 16?
And I was 16. And so they talked to him to come over to the house. So I thought he was coming over to see my mother. Come to see me. So my mother said to me, how would you like to marry him? I said, him? I said, my God, his pants are falling and I don't like him. And I left him talking to my mother, and I went out to play with the kids. He was playing with marbles. So you can imagine, I was completely a kid. And I was 16 already, but still didn't act it. So then my mother, when I came back, she said, you shouldn't have left. He came to see you. And I said, what for? Well, she said, wouldn't you like to marry him? I said, of course not. So, but then she started, and she was one of those talks, and every day she'd say, well, see, if you married him, you wouldn't be dressed up so poorly. I'd look at your friends, how nice they dress, and they don't have to worry about anything. The best thing is for you to get married. See, my mother also got married at 16 the first time, and she also was married by someone that she didn't care. But that didn't teach her a lesson.
Oh, your father was her second husband?
He was her second husband.
Oh, I see.
See, my mother's first husband was killed in one of those cave-in, but it was, well, they call it the where they cut the stones.
A quarry.
And some stones fell on top of him and killed him. And then she used to tell she cared for him until he was dead. And she passed out. But then the year after she was married to my father, and she was crazy about my father. That's the one she was crazy about.
So even though she didn't like that, she had been married off at 16.
Yeah, but she thought, well, later on I like him like she did, you know. And I didn't. So anyway.
Now was he Croatian?
Croatian. And very old-fashioned and very ignorant. He knew how to read and write, but I think he had very little schooling. Anyway, we were completely different. And I had already acquired some of, the finesse of South American ladies and all that. And I just didn't like him. I mean, if I had married him in Europe, maybe. But to me, he was something lower because he believed in witches. And every time he saw a black cat, he'd chase after her. And those things, to me, they were revolting. But anyway, my mother kept talking and talking and talking. I should marry him because nobody else is coming around. But she was, we were there only a couple months. So finally,
did he keep coming over in the meantime?
No, he did. But she kept talking about it. And she kept talking. And finally one day, she said, see, I have to work at night as a dishwasher. This way you could get married and you'll make things easier for me. And finally, I don't know how, but I said, okay, I'll marry him. And she was wiping some cups, I remember well. And she left the cups and she ran out of the house and she went to this friend's house and told her that I have accepted I would marry him. So the two of them went together to see him and they told him that I would. So they must have talked to him before about it because he says, all right, he would marry as long as I. But he did say this. I didn't hear it, but they told me I was a little too young for him. But if I'm willing, of course he was willing to marry me. And I wasn't bad looking. So anyway, in 2 weeks I was married. And of course, when the night of the engagement party, they had a big party at this lady's house, because we had a very small house. And he kissed me, and I'll never forget, because when he kissed me, my stomach went upside down, you know. So I said, you know, a little bit more, or if I'd been a little bit older, I would have said, nobody's going to marry me to him, but I accepted him, so I got married. And the night of the wedding, all the young boys in the neighborhood heard that this young girl from South America is marrying this to them as an old man, you know. So they came to the wedding party and they caused a rumpus. and there was a big fight. They wouldn't let me come out of the house, and they wouldn't let him come out of the house because we were newly married. But this friend of my mother's boy, she would turn around with a stick, picking up the boys not to come around. They were uninvited to this party, you know. So we went home. I didn't go on a honeymoon or anything like that. And we had three rooms. My mother was in the middle room. Mine was in the front room. They had made a bedroom for us and the kitchen.
Okay, you were going to still live with your mother then?
And I lived with my mother. And, of course, I didn't like the marriage. I didn't like the husband, and I didn't like the sex. That was the worst part for me. And I didn't know how to cook or anything, and deliberately I wouldn't cook. So my mother said, well, people are watching, and they want to know what you can do. So the only thing I could do was wash clothes. And I washed it real white, you know, and I put it out on the line so people would see. You should be my mom. I didn't care for cooking. So much good. So anyway, we moved from there. In the meantime, right after I got married, then my mother got married. And then she moved to Butte, and I was left in Anacanth. Later on, we moved to Butte. Now, I don't remember exactly the reason. Maybe it's because I was because of my mother, or I don't know, but we moved to Butte, and he was a minor. And I didn't like him. Oh, God, I was so mean to him. When I realized it now, you know, it was unnecessary. Like, for instance, we went to parties. The Croatians liked parties a lot. And yeah, I was young, and most of my other friends were young. He's the only one that was older. So when we were at dances, I started singing. There was a little song, something about an old man, I don't care for you, and I'll find you forever singing that song. And, you know, so you can imagine how he felt. Well, anyway.
Despite being married, you associated still with people your own age.
And then I decided to leave him. But I wasn't 18 yet.
No, you had already gotten pregnant?
No, not yet. So I decided to leave him, and my mother threatened me that if I don't go back to him, she was going to send me to reform school. Well, I didn't know that she couldn't do that, but I got scared, so I went back to him, unfortunately, because I got pregnant. And I didn't want any children from him. And then I got scared. I thought, my God, if I have one, then that means I'm going to have more. Yeah. And then I have to stay with him the rest of my life, and this I'm not going to do. So I started pinching pennies, saving tears, pennies, wherever I could, until I saved about $500. And then I went to school. Oh, before I went to school, I went and got myself a divorce. I was a clean sky.
How did you know what to do?
Well, by this time I had made some friends, Spanish friends from Spain, and she had been divorced, and she told me, I could get a divorce, but in the meantime, I had to have the money first, so I saved the money. And before I got my divorce also, I went to school to learn to be a beauty operator, because I figured I had to make a living, you know. So I graduated from the beauty school. Of course, in those days, the only thing I learned was my selling and shampooing and hair cutting. That's all I learned. But that was going to be enough.
How did he react to all of this whole time of your going to school and everything?
He didn't say very much, and then I kept going to school after I left him. So one day when I figured that I'm almost ready, I just told him, I looked for it, because you know you can find a fight if you want to. So I somehow managed to find something so he'll holler, and we got into a fight, and that was a good excuse. And you know, I disliked him so that after I had the baby, before the baby came, I forget, my mother made me come back to him because otherwise he was going to send me to reform school. Then I got pregnant. Then, of course, he told me I had to stay with him because God only knows what's going to happen. Maybe the baby won't be healthy or I won't be healthy, and I need a man to take care of me. So I stayed with him until I had the baby. But after I had the baby, I said, no, sorry, because babies or no babies, I'm not going to stay with him. So I'm going to school. And my mother, she tried so hard. She meant well, you know, but I was very bitter against my mother. I used to tell her, why didn't you marry him? He'll be better for you than for me. So when I told her I was leaving him, she was mopping the floor in the kitchen, and she hit me with a mop and hit my eye, and I was holding the baby here, so she hit him too. I got out of the house, she had even locked me in the room with him before, and I ran out through the window. So that's when she beat me up. Then I went to this friend's house, it's Concha was her name, from Spain, she's from Basque. And I took my baby, and here I go like an immigrant with a bag of clothes in one hand, a little suitcase in the other, and the baby on top of the suitcase. And I went to Concha's house, and my mother came over and raised hell that we were no good because she had borders. And what am I going to be doing with her? We were going to be care of no good women. So anyway, but I didn't care.
Was it because she was a divorced woman?
And also because she had enticed me. See, she figured that on my own I wouldn't, which in a way she was right. I wouldn't have done it on my own because I didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me about the divorce and all this. So I got the divorce. And over there you don't have to wait 6 months. I guess when I told my story to the lawyer, I guess it was good enough because I got my divorce right away. And then I stayed with Concha, and my mother came over, and she called us all kinds of names, but I stayed with Concha finally. I had a key car for the baby, and after she had beat me up, I went over to get my key car for my son, and I had a black eye yet. And my mother said, "Bother! Who beat you up?" So I said, "A crazy woman." I said, "Hit me with a mop." So then she realized it was her, so she started crying and she was sorry. But I wasn't going to go back to him if he was the last man in this world.
Did he try and prevent you from leaving or anything?
No, he didn't. I've hardly talked of him. And I wouldn't have any sex with him except on payday, which is an awful thing to tell him.
That was so that you can get some money.
Yeah, because otherwise he'd go and spend all his money, you know, and then I wouldn't have any money. And of course I was more interested in saving some money so I could leave him. So, and scared to death all the time, maybe I'd have another baby, and I didn't know anything.
You didn't know anything about
nothing at all. I didn't know anything about preventive or anything. So finally when I finally got my divorce, I started working as a beauty operator, and I still had some money saved, and I wanted to come to California because I don't know why, but California was the place where I was going. And my mother knew I had some money, and she knew that I wanted to come to California. Well, the poor thing, she didn't know how, I guess, to get around me anymore because I didn't listen to her anymore. So she finally borrowed the money from me to buy a house, so I couldn't go to California. So finally I said we get enough. But in the meantime I met this Mexican fellow. And of course he used to come to my mother's house and all, but she didn't want me to get married to a Mexican. Whether it was because of the race or it wasn't the Croatian, this I know. But anyway she almost died and I married him in secret, and she thought I was living with him without marriage. And she sent somebody to the house to tell me that I was going to be expelled from the lodge because I was living in sin. And I went and I brought my marriage certificate. I think it was a bigger shock to them to find out that I was married. I married this Mexican, which turned out that was the worst thing I ever did, because if anybody was jealous in this world, was that man. He wouldn't let me put lipstick on. He wouldn't let me put paint on my face. He wouldn't let me visit my mother, because by this time I had already made up with my mother. And I had the baby, and she would steal the baby. We're always stealing the baby from each other. She would steal him from me, and I steal him back from her, and back and forth. So, but I'm stuck. See, I can't get a divorce. At first place, my mother said one day something I said about getting a divorce, because she was so mean. And she said, "Sure, you got married before, you got divorced, now you're going to get married again, divorced again. What is people going to say?" And I worried a lot what people were going to say. But then, later on, I didn't care. But so I stayed with him, and instead I came to California with him. Mm-hmm. I left my baby with my mother. And of course, she was tickled to death because she didn't have a son. See, all her sons had died. And I came to California, and...
Now, why was he coming to California?
Well, I was the one who wanted to come here. And the mines had closed. He was a miner.
Mm-hmm.
And I also worked in a farm with him after the mines closed. And I had a baby. Well, by this time my son was about 4 years old, I think. And I took my son with me to the farm. And she sent my sister over to steal the baby from me. And I don't know what gave me the idea. My sister was only about 12 years old or 11. So I told her, Katie, if you came to take the baby away from me, don't try it. I said, because you're a minor. By this time I got a little smarter, you know. I said, if you take him, I'm going to get the police and they're going to put you in the... I was threatening to report because he has my baby and somebody can take him away. So she went back home without the baby. But then later on, my stepfather died. They sent me a telegram to come home. So I went because he had died. And by this time, his husband that I had, every time if I went outside and looked at another man, I would get a slap when I come in the house. And I don't know if it shows, I even had a scar in here. Well, we were working on the field, and even the Mexicans used to look, used to be so surprised to see me married to him. I was so out of place. I was fair, my hair was blonde, and he was very dark, and he was very tall and mean. And a friend of mine said, well, how did you see him? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I guess to spite my mother, but I didn't spite my mother, I spite myself.
So it was just worse than the first one?
It was worse than the first one, because I was a misfit. I wasn't fit with the Mexicans, and I wasn't fit with the Croatians. The Croatians looked at me like I had married God knows what. So I figured, well, I go to California, where they have all kinds of Spanish people, it'd be fine. And we came here. And left my son with my mother.
Now, why did your mother keep trying to steal your son?
Because she wanted him. Oh. She didn't have a boy, and she wanted to raise him. And I guess she figured it's better for him or something. So when I came to California, I on my own free will left him with her. Because I figured, God knows what's in California, and what am I going to do with a baby?
So what year was that?
In 1929, I think. Mm.
During the Depression.
Mm. It was 29 or 30.
And so, what was your plan when you both came? What did you think you
Well, he was going to work and something, and in the meantime, I wasn't making any plans yet.
Mm.
I knew in some future days I was going to leave him, but I didn't know when. So I left him with my mother. Well, when I came here, we came to Oxnard, and he was working in the fields, picking something, some kind of vegetable. And I went to work in a restaurant as a waitress. Very, very little English, but somehow I managed. And of course, that was during the real Depression. I remember when the Roosevelt got elected the first time. What year was that?
32?
Mm-hmm. Well, that I was in Oxnard because I went to see Roosevelt on the train.
Mm.
And I wanted to leave him, but I was so afraid because he threatened me. If I ever left him, he was going to kill me. So I finally decided to go to Montana to visit my mother. And there I was working in this restaurant, saving my pennies until I saved about $15. And the fare was, I don't remember, but it was $11 or $12 to Montana. This was a long time ago. So I had a few dollars left for food, you know, to get there. And I intended to stay in Montana and get my son at the same time. But I stopped in Las Vegas for the first time, and with these $3 or $4 I had left over, I played the slot machine, and I won about $15. And of course, I put that in my pocket, and I arrived in Montana with a few dollars. So my mother was happy to see me, except when she found out I intended to stay, then she didn't like the idea. See? So I again left Montana and came back to California. And he had chased after me when he came home from work and found out I had left. He followed me. I had taken the bus. He followed me in the car, but thank goodness the car was an old dilapidated thing and it broke down on the road. So he never caught up with me. So when I came back, I just refused to go back to him.
Mm.
But finally,
did
then...
Did you bring your son back in?
No, no. Then finally, I went back to him because I was in Oxford. There was nothing to do, so I came to Los Angeles. Still with the intention, as soon as I get a good job, I'm going to leave him, and studying English like crazy. Broken English that I studied all the time because I was in a hurry to learn the language so I could do something.
You were going to night school?
No, I was learning on my own. I had books. So in the meantime, He went to Mexico looking for treasure. I don't know. He was the kind of looking for treasure. So I was left with a relative of mine, and I went looking for a job in a factory. So I had worked at a restaurant before, but then I went in a factory, and because I knew how to sew by hand, I got the job as a finisher. And I was staying with a relative of mine, and then the big strike came, and I was already living here in East Los Angeles. I got a telegram from the union, from Bill Busick. He was the organizer, and he says to be sure to come at 5 o'clock in the morning because they have something for me to do. And I had been reading a book about the anarchists, and so I somehow figured the union and the anarchists and all it's all the same thing. And I wrote to my mother, and I told her, I don't know, maybe this is the last letter I'm writing to you because I'm supposed to do something at the union. I don't know what it is, but I might get killed because they throw bombs. So I went to the union, and I'm shaking like a leaf. And I said, here I am. And he gives me a bunch of leaflets, this magazine, to give out on the street. And I said, what am I supposed to do? And he said, well, you stay in the corner, so you give it to the people as they go by. And I said, no, no, what I have to do? And he said, what did you expect? And I said, well, I thought I had to throw bombs. And you know, he was a big man, and he almost fell from me. So he laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard in his life. But imagine, I was willing to throw bombs if they had given them to me.
So that, you got involved with union almost as soon as you came to L.A.
Yeah.
And worked in the
Yeah.
And your son was still with
you. He was still with my mother.
Okay, I think what we should do is stop for today, because what I'd like to do is then start with all the union stuff from the beginning.